we've been talking about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and that God has more for us, and that we ought to get hungry for it, and we ought to go after it, and we ought to believe God to pour out His Spirit upon us. In these last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's God's promise. We're certainly living in the last days, if anybody is, we are. And we're closer to the coming of Jesus than ever before. And the enemy's putting up a fight. He knows his time is short. But Jesus said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit in these last days. You're going to see something that the world has never seen before. Praise God. And God wants us all to be part of that. And as we're preparing our hearts and we're seeking God, when there's going to come a time when God's going to sweep us into that. And he takes notice of those that have gotten themselves ready. It's like that parable of the 10 virgins. There were some that prepared themselves to meet the bridegroom. And there are others that didn't do anything much to prepare themselves. And they missed their opportunity, didn't they? The door was closed and they couldn't get in. And that's how it's going to be in these last days. Some very godly people have talked to me like that. And we need to seek him now. We need to take the things of God seriously. We need to really get hungry and thirsty for Jesus and give him time to work in us and to prepare us for the glorious things that he is going to do in the earth, hallelujah, through his church. Praise God. You know, let's look at some passages just briefly. There's a few things here that will sort of strengthen our faith along these lines. And one is in Luke chapter 11. Talks about the Holy Spirit and to whom God gives the Holy Spirit to. I think it was our brother Ron Klaus that mentioned that when we receive Jesus into our lives as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. And we've been reading in our morning devotions about regeneration. A new life begins inside us. And that's the life of the Spirit. Praise God. But then the Bible goes on to talk about now be filled with the Spirit. And we see examples of that taking place in the book of Acts, where believers in Jesus Christ, those that were born again of the Spirit, were now filled with the Spirit. To be filled with a person means to come under their control. And that's what happened. And that's what God wants to happen. As he fills us with himself, we come more under the control of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he lives his life in us more wonderfully. Here in the 11th chapter of Luke, Jesus is giving us some teaching on prayer. And Jesus was a man of prayer. He gave himself to prayer. He felt his absolute dependence upon his Father. As a man, he lived that way. He wanted to show us how a man or a woman is to live here on earth. How to depend upon God for everything. How to be a channel of God's life and blessing. And so Jesus gave himself to prayer. You know, I've mentioned this before, but the Lord showed me that prayer is the way I express my dependence on God. I can feel like I need God, but if I don't pray, I'm not depending on him. I can feel my weakness. But it's when I pray that I'm showing God that I need you, that I can't do it myself. When I just spend time in his presence, spend time alone with him. And sometimes I tell the Lord that. You know, I don't always feel great blessing when I go to prayer, but when I get down on my knees, I say, Lord, I'm here to show you that I need you. I'm here to show you that I'm dependent upon you, Lord. Unless you move in my life and through my life, nothing. I can't accomplish anything. My life has no real purpose unless the Spirit of God is getting his will done in my life. And so, Lord, here I am. I just want you to see that I need you. And then I'll tell him that. I'll sing, oh, I need you, how I need you. Every hour, I need you. Praise God. And so remember that prayer is the way we express our dependence on God. That's God has ordained it that way. Don't just say that you need him. Don't just feel like you need him, but pray. and show him that you need him and give him a chance to come to you and meet that need and be to you what he wants to be to you. And the more we do that, praise God, the more he takes over in our life, the more we're able to trust him, the more we see Jesus. Praise God. Okay, so here Jesus was a man of prayer, and the disciples would find him often praying. While they were still sleeping, he was up. He was alone with his Father. Imagine the life of Jesus, surrounded by people all the time, multitudes following you, clawing at you, trying to touch your garment. And he couldn't get any rest. He had to get away from the crowd in order to get alone. And even then, he was with 12 people. And so then he had to get up early while they were sleeping and spend time with his Father. It says that Brother Gray, I remember, Dr. Gray, some of you know him. I know Angie knows him well or remembers him well. He wrote a book on prayer, and he often spoke about prayer. And he said in the Greek, there's a passage that says, the more the multitudes came, the more Jesus had to pray. The busier Jesus got, the more he had to pray. We say, Lord, I'm too busy to pray. I'm sure you understand. And he says, no, I don't understand that. Because the busier Jesus got, the more time he gave to prayer. And so it's something we need to learn. We need to ask God to help us. You know, it's the devil fights that. But God can help us. God can remind us. God can help us to discipline ourselves. And God can meet us as we give him time to work in our lives. The more the multitudes came, the more Jesus went away to pray. And they asked him to, the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. And he gave them this pattern. You know, that's you know, the Lord's, what we call here the Lord's Prayer, is a pattern. It's not that we're supposed to memorize it and just, repeat it verbatim. We can do that from time to time. But, you know, it's good to open your Bible and open to the Lord's Prayer and just take time over it. My Father. There you go. Stop there. My Father. My Father. I've had an earthly father. He was great. But my heavenly Father's perfect. He's everything that my earthly father couldn't be to me and more. And I need to come into that understanding. I'm his child. He's my Father. You know, in the Bible, fathers, they have a particular call over their life. They're the providers for the family, and they're the protectors of the family. And I'm sure many other things too. But Joseph, God used Joseph to provide for Mary and Jesus. And God used Joseph to protect them. And God led him when they were in danger to leave and flee. And that's what he was. And so often we see that role of fathers in the Bible. Provider and protector. That's what my God is to me. He's my provider. Everything I need comes from him. He knows what I need. And he, even before I ask, he knows. And he's ready to supply that need. According to his riches and glory, he's got some bank account up there. It never runs out. No matter, we can all withdraw, and there's still more for every one of us. Praise God. That's why I don't get jealous when I see other people getting blessed, because that doesn't take anything away from me. God can bless you till your socks pop off. And I still got all the blessing I need to be what God wants me to be and to make me happy in Jesus. And so we pray, our Father, you're in heaven. You see things so differently from up there than we do down here. You see the end from the beginning already. And Lord, you're my Father. You're going to provide. You're going to protect me. You're going to help me along my journey. And I'm not going to go through all the Lord's Prayer, but I just want to give you an idea of how to pray this prayer. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Lord, I want you to be king of my life. I want you to take your place upon the throne of my heart. Get me off that throne. And Jesus, take my place. I make a mess of my life. You make something beautiful out of my life. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, be my king. Make me a loyal subject. Help me to live to honor you. You know, when you read about King David in the Bible, he had some men that were so loyal to him, life was not about them. It was all about David and his kingdom. And they would do anything to exalt the name of David in the land and to strengthen his kingdom. They risked their lives time and time again so that David would be glorified and exalted. And that's what we need to do. We say, oh, Jesus, be my king and help me to be your subject and help me to live for your glory. It's not about me, Jesus. It's all about you. And help me to live in such a way that people see how glorious you are. Let them see my good works and not say, Ken, you're a great guy. You're so good. You do such nice things. But help me to do it so that you will be glorified, so that they will give praise to my Father in heaven, and so on. But the thing that I wanted to touch upon was, after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talks about the fact that when we pray, we got to stick with it. You don't just pray one time and then say, okay, that's it, I prayed. But God wants us to pray until we have an answer, until he gives us the assurance in our hearts that the answer has come. Praise God. We read in the Old Testament that Elijah prayed for rain. It says he prayed 7 times. And it wasn't just, you know, one after the other, quick. He spent time calling upon God. He got down on his face. He put his head between his knees. He was in pretty good shape. I couldn't do that. If I did, I wouldn't get up, I'm sure. But he prayed. And then he kept sending his servant out to look into the sky. And the servant kept running back. I don't see anything. He prayed again. Sent us 7 times. The servant came back and he said, I don't know, I see a little cloud there about the size of a man's fist. And Elijah said, that's it. Rain's coming. Let's get going. And they ran. And the rains, the clouds started coming in. And there was years of famine and drought. And now God had answered and poured the showers of blessing down upon the earth. But he knew that the answer was there that he had prayed through even before the rain came. He got that assurance. He just saw one little cloud, and the Lord said, it's prayed through. Okay, the answer's here, on its way. Praise God. But there are times we have to keep praying. Tonight, you know, I when I was living at camp, we used to have prayer meetings, and Wednesday was our day of prayer. We'd have meeting in the morning, and then we'd wait on God and pray all day long, and many people would send prayer requests up to Pilgrim Camp, and they knew that we would take them before the Lord, and that was our responsibility and joy. And Brother Gardner would say, okay, let's pray. Okay, somebody else pray again about that. God's not done with that prayer yet. We have to pray again. And then someone else would pray again and again and sometimes again. And the more we prayed, the more fervent we became and the more we cried out to God until we felt that it was time to move on to the next prayer. You know, that's how we should pray. I'm so happy that in our prayer meetings, I've seen a change in our prayer meetings in Canarsie. You know, for a time it was, let's pray about everything we can think of in the time that we're here. And one person would start praying, and they'd start praying for the church, then their child, and then this, and then the government. And you know, one time I timed it, I shouldn't have done it, but I looked at my 17 minutes. That's a long time to pray. I was worn out by the time she was done praying. It just wore me out. I don't have faith to hold on for 17 minutes. I need to stop once in a while and praise and sing and get refreshed and renewed so I can pray for the next need. And, God bless the woman. She's faithful and she was so earnest. But I've been trying to teach the people, listen, we're not here to pray for everything we can think of on Tuesday night. We're here to pray the things that God puts upon our hearts. And that's what we need to ask him. The Holy Spirit, help us to pray as you would have us to pray. You bring the needs to our attention and then give us faith and desire, and help us to call on you. And that's been happening more and more. And there's been such a change in these last months, I've noticed. I can't wait to get to prayer meeting now. Before I used to go, of course, I'm the minister. I should be there. And prayer is good. But it was like a workout, you know. I had Blink up the block. It was more tiring than going to Blink. And I don't go to Blink. Now we have sisters that come. It's mostly sisters. That's always the case, right? Where are the men? I have one other man that comes sometimes. We begin by saying, "Oh, Jesus, we need you. We need a fresh touch from heaven." And we spend so much of our time just calling upon Jesus, one song after another, praising him. And then someone will lead out in prayer for somebody, and someone else will pray it again. And it's been so refreshing, and it's just been such a new move of the Holy Spirit. And I say, "Lord, if you start moving in the prayer meeting, there's going to be great things happening in the rest of the church." That's where it starts, in the prayer meeting. And we don't try to twist people's arm and say, "You should come to prayer meeting," or "Where are you?" If you don't want to pray, stay home. We need people that want to pray. And of course, everybody's welcome. But prayer is work. Prayer is important work. And, prayer is the way God is, what God has ordained, the way in which God has ordained to move and show us his glory. And so here Jesus says, "If you have a son, if any son asks bread of any of his father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish?" You know, if your son is hungry, and he says, "Dad, I'm hungry, can I have some bread?" "No, here's a stone, just to mock you." And then, what's the next one? "If he wants a fish, give him something that'll hurt him. A serpent or a scorpion." He says, "No father would do that." You know, as a father, when my children expressed a need and reached up and said, "Daddy, you know, help me," or "I need this," oh, my heart went out to them. I wanted to help them. I couldn't not. And that's how our Heavenly Father feels about us. And so he wants us to know that God wants what's best for us. And sometimes the prayers don't get answered right away. We don't see the answer right away. But that doesn't mean God is not interested, God is not concerned, or God is not working. Don't ever believe that. He's your Father in heaven, and he knows what you need, and he wants to give you what you need. And he knows why you need to keep praying. Sometimes there are battles in the heavenlies. Sometimes there are things that God needs to do in your life to prepare you for the answer. And we just have to trust him and keep praying. And keep praying. And then he goes on to say, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your father," to your children, excuse me, "how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And the implication here is that you got to keep on asking. You know, when you read it in context, Jesus is talking about ask and seek and knock and keep on asking. And he says, and God will give the Holy Spirit to those that keep on asking. Praise God. Sometimes that blessing of the Holy Spirit comes rather quickly. Other times it takes a while. But God wants us to keep on asking. And as we continue to pray, God will strengthen us and encourage us and help us to pray through into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. We'll look at these verses rather quickly. Acts chapter 5. Here it says, God gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. In verse 32. Acts 5:32. And this was the story when the apostles were being used of God. Then they were arrested and threatened and so on. It says, when Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Verse 29. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, in verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Praise God. If we want to receive the Holy Spirit, we have to ask for it. I hope every one of us here have asked and is asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just going to fall on you from nowhere. He wants you to ask. He wants you to see you need him. Why haven't you asked yet? Don't you see how greatly you need to be filled with God, to be filled with his Spirit? And as we see our need and we ask, God takes notice of that life. You can be sure. And then he says, he gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. But I need the Holy Spirit to obey him. How can I obey him? Well, do what you can right now. Say, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to please you with my life. And Lord, I know you have grace for me to help me to do that. And where I can, help me to do it, Lord. Help me to show you that I really want to obey you, Lord, and I want to please you. But Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can please you more and I can please you better. You're not giving me the Holy Spirit just to make me feel good. You're wanting to fill me with the Holy Spirit so that my life can bring glory to you, so that I can obey you and fulfill in obedience. We heard about that the other night, about obedience. God wants our obedience to be perfect. When we obey him, he comes to us in an even greater way. We read in John 14 and 15 and so on. And so, Lord, I don't want the Holy Spirit so I can speak in tongues. I don't want the Holy Spirit so that I can feel good only. But, Lord, I want to live a life that glorifies and pleases Jesus. And I need the Holy Spirit to enable me to obey him. And so I'm going to show you that I mean business, Lord. I'm going to do what I can, as imperfect as it is. But, Lord, grant me the Holy Spirit so that I can obey you. Praise God. And then I mentioned that Brother Ernie had called our attention to this, my attention to the thought that he fills us with the Holy Spirit so that his love can be shed abroad in our hearts. And that's in Romans chapter 5. And there it speaks about the Holy Spirit is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise God. God is love. And when you're filled with God, you're filled with love. And then you begin to love everyone that he loves. And when you love, then you give yourself to people. And it's you sacrifice and extend yourself. God wants to love people through us. He needs vessels that he can love people through. You know, when I was in Bible school, my parents bought me a King James Thompson Chain Bible. And I kind of wore that Bible out. I underlined everything that was a blessing to me, I underlined. But my parents wrote something very precious in the beginning of the Bible when they presented it to me, and I kept that. I never forgot that. As you study God's Word and stay low at Jesus' feet, may your life be a yielded channel through which the love of God can flow. I've thought about that often. As I study God's Word and stay low at Jesus' feet, God wants my life to be a yielded channel through which his love can flow. Hallelujah. That's sort of been a guiding principle for me. That the Lord used my parents to pray that over my life. I'm sure they were doing that, and maybe they do that in heaven too. I don't know how that works. Praise God. So I'm going to stop there. It's time to stop. And I just want to give some time tonight to pray that God will come to us, that God will fill us, that God will prepare our hearts to be filled, however the Spirit of God wants to work. And I'd like to encourage the young people especially, why don't we come up front? You know, we're not going to have too many. I'm leaving on Monday, so I'm not going to have too many opportunities to pray with you like this. But maybe it'd be good if the guys were on this side and the girls were on this side. And then maybe there's some adults that would like to come and pray with them. And just let God use you and guide you. And I don't know what God will do for us tonight, but I know that it's going to be time well spent. I know that it's going to contribute to God's moving in our lives. And so let's sing Fill Me Now. And if you'd like to come and have us pray or pray one for another, it's one of the best things we can do. And I think it would please the Lord tonight if we would give him that opportunity. Praise God.